Welcome back. By now you've completed your course, congratulations. There are three scenarios for how you likely feel now and what to do next. One, if after the month is over, you're still having issues and you're wondering if you've been practicing all that I've outlined correctly, refer to the section in your add-on titled Troubleshooting to see what might be the problem. It'll tell you what to do next. Two, if after your month is over, you feel like your problem or discomfort has calmed down, but is still persisting in an elevated and not normal way, while it seems to be working on some level, you may need to go the extra step. In which case, also review the troubleshooting section in your add-on, make any necessary adjustments, then pay particular attention to the SHIFT acronym at the end. You want to keep up your Art of Fear method, but now engage in the final three steps found in the acronym at the end of that section. This should address any loose ends that linger and take them over the finish line. And finally, three, if it worked out as planned and you're feeling much better, your discomfort is down to normal or reasonable levels, you can now do one of the following three things. You can either stop and just go about your life. Have a party first, though, to celebrate, of course. Or two, you can anytime in the future, which mind you, maybe tomorrow, when you start to feel bad again, which will happen, come back to this practice. Old habits can be sticky. Plus, as you know, life can be difficult. This method can, though, become your new meditation so that when life throws you more curveballs, because you'll get really good at this, you're just going to be able to handle everything that comes your way so much better. And finally, third choice. Instead of waiting for the next crisis to prompt you to get to work, you can use this method when not in crisis to go to the next level of your development. You know, I've found if you do personal work to end a problem, great. It gets you out of the hole you've been in, unsticks your stuck place, and sets you free from that problem. Upon which, most people stop doing their personal work and just get back to the business of living again in a more normal, reactive, unconscious way. I get it. That's a big part of our nature. I do it, you do it, we all do it. But if you do personal work when your life is going great, not when you're in crisis trying to crawl out of a hole, but when you're already standing on solid ground with great views in all directions, if you do personal work starting from this place, well, you're setting yourself up for a pretty expansive next level ride. You might just actually climb that mountain over there that now presents itself. Here's an example. I once went on an immersive 5-day self-help retreat when I was not in crisis. Now, like I said, most people tend to only do personal work when they're feeling awful and become desperate enough to sign up for such a thing. I was no different, of course. I'd signed up for the event when going through a bad breakup, and I was in crisis, which is fine. Often crisis is what drives evolution and little else does. By the time the retreat happened, though, which was a few months later, I felt fine. I was no longer in crisis. But I went anyway, and wow, just wow, instead of spending the week getting the mud out of my eyes, which I'd already done on my own, it took my already clear vision to the top of a personal new high mountain where I could see clearly what wanted to happen next in my life. I left the retreat, acted on a great idea I had during the retreat, and started a new business, which took me to being an educator, which took me to where I sit here now today advising you about emotions. I would not be here talking to you today were it not for that 5-day retreat. So, in summary, be sure to never let a good crisis go to waste. Absolutely. It's the universe challenging you to learn something new and rise to the next level of your potential. But when not in crisis, once you think, my life is great, no, that's a cop-out, a stuck place where next level growth is no longer available to you. Which is why I say, won't you consider not waiting for your next crisis to happen before you take steps to go beyond what you're capable of seeing on your own. For example, go to marriage counseling when your marriage is going great. What then becomes possible? You might hire a fitness coach when you're already in the best shape of your life. You might bring in a marketing expert when your marketing department is already kicking ass. Like I said, this kind of thing, do it and watch next level magic happen. As for the Art of Fear method, what if you don't just go back to this method when in crisis? What if it actually becomes your daily practice? What this looks like is every day at a certain time, maybe as part of your morning routine, maybe during your lunch break, maybe during the start of every yoga class or as you start meditating again, you engage in your four steps in any way that works for you. But the key is, you ready? Now you add in the bonus step. Remember that from the foundation at the end of session 12? The bonus step is, after step four, next, you notice the energy of the emotion you just felt. Can you feel its percolation? And get curious about the lesson that it's here to teach you. Do this, maybe add in some journaling afterwards, and voila, your unconscious emotional body and mind, now made conscious to you, will become the greatest friend, the greatest advisor you ever had. Let me tell you some of the things I learned by doing this myself. Now, if you read my book, you know in my everyday life, I don't typically feel fear, but I do feel anxiety. People who claim to not feel fear yet feel anxiety usually don't see the correlation between the two. Anxiety is fear that shows up in a persistent way because you've been ignoring the underlying undealt with fear. Anxiety is a clear sign then I repress fear. Still now, even today. Like I said, these habits can be sticky, but now I catch it a lot faster. My repressed fear, though, also showed up for me often as sadness. So I was aware of anxiety and I was aware of sadness, but the more I unpacked my undercurrent, once I started to address my PTRD, which was showing up as my being an insanely light sleeper, the more I became aware that actually undealt with anger was the emotion causing my sleep issues. Anger about how I was treated as a child, specifically by parents and by my peers at school, that I had never dealt with, that, as I found out, still dramatically affects my life today. Who knew? Unpacking it further, as I kept up my practice, I also found beneath the anger was also contempt towards other people. This was profound. I'm a very caring, loving person towards my family, friends, clients, and also strangers. So to recognize I also had a deeply buried contempt for other people that I wasn't dealing with, well, let me tell you, that blew my mind. As I kept it up, next I found beneath the contempt lay a deeper feeling still of not feeling safe around others and an unwillingness to be vulnerable. Now, I only just unwrapped all this, probably because for years my PTRD and my sleep issues weren't a big enough deal that I was willing to do anything about it. My husband is okay with me sleeping in the other room, but you know, I don't want to live my life that way forever. So now I'm wondering if it's time for me to finally address that anger, contempt, feelings of not being safe, and unwillingness to be vulnerable by starting, well, first an anger, then a contempt practice. How's that for an earful? Not a love practice, that's just a band-aid. Not a peace practice, that won't work but for a day or two. But an anger and a contempt practice, and learn how to feel them in an honest way. Adding in the bonus step to extract the lesson that these long buried and forgotten feelings are here to teach me, which has been standing on their heads trying to get my attention for decades. Do this. Don't you wonder, what then becomes possible for me and my sleep issues? And then what becomes possible as I desire to age gracefully into the type of woman I want to be next, which is more sweet and relaxed rather than my usual arrogance and toughness. I know now what that work will look like whenever I'm ready for it, and I even look forward to it. I know it's going to be hard, but not nearly as hard as continuing to not deal with it, that's for sure. For remember, like I've said before, whatever you won't look at, that's the key to freedom. So the bottom line is, we all have a choice point, every day. Sometimes we're not in the mood for personal work, and sometimes we are. Ask yourself then, always and forever, do I just wanna get on with it, go unconscious again and live my life and whatever happens, happens, or do I care enough to keep working at myself? Like when you were in school, to become the best version of yourself you can be. If the latter is your calling today, please keep up your Art of Fear method, then add in the bonus step every time. Please also take advantage of the super creative section in the add-on titled Additional Practices. Have fun with them. And please remember this, if you have a therapist or meditation practice or any other kind of practice that you dropped temporarily to try this instead, and you now want to bring that back into your life, I mentioned I'd encourage you to do that. This is that encouragement. It can be a great resource to complement what you've learned in this course. For here's the bottom line, emotional intelligence isn't just going to happen. Getting along with yourself, getting along with others, being super successful, feeling great, none of this just happens. You have to be proactive. If you're in Paris and you want to get to Madrid, you have to actually figure out how to get there and start walking and not stop too long on your journey in any one place if you want to ever make that dream come true. There are plenty of people along the way you will meet too who want to get there just like you. Find these people, just like you found me, and practice with them. And that's it. As for details, I hope you continue your Art of Fear method past the month. And when you do it, here's the latest modification. Whatever feels strongest for you, your resistance, your discomfort, or the discomfort beneath the discomfort, you're going to be a pro at distinguishing whatever is the bigger problem for you each day. Just switch it around each time during step four. Spend time feeling whatever is strongest without trying to get rid of it. And then, after that step four, add in the bonus step where you tap into the energy of that discomfort next. That is your fuel for your journey and the wisdom. If it's fear you're tapping into, you may be surprised to learn that you'll find there what the military calls your spidey sense. Spidey sense is fear advising you wisely, keeping you safe, and making clear, sharp, A-game decisions. It's where intuition and instinct lie. It will always help you on your journey to be the most magnificent human being you can be, to reach your highest potential. So, to conclude, remember, while most of us think we draw our power from our light, actually, it turns out we draw it from our darkness. And that darkness, well, once taken out of the basement, it's actually not dark at all. By keeping up this practice, you'll see exactly what I mean. Guilt, for example, is here to guide you. As for fear, anger, and yes, even contempt, ask yourself, what are these voices here to teach me about myself, my life, and the nature of the human experience? This is the big picture of what you can contemplate next. I finish by bowing to you one final time. Thank you for engaging in consciousness practice with me. Contact me if you need anything else, and keep it up. I promise I will as well. I know I'm going to need it. And good luck out there in this crazy, difficult, yet magnificent world.